Well, this morning is Palm Sunday, and I want to speak a message to you today that hopefully will link Palm Sunday, will link our theme for the year, and take us further into seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You will have received a message fill-in when you came in. You can take that out, fill it in, follow along with us this morning. I want to talk about first things first every day. First things first every day. So we're going to start off first with Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is the day that Jesus triumphantly entered Jerusalem. It was the Sunday before Easter Sunday. So it was the beginning of his Passion Week. It started off triumphantly. It ended triumphantly, but there was a bad Friday that became a good Friday in the middle of it. But Palm Sunday, the portion of scripture is Luke 19, verse 37. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, glory in the highest." One of the benefits of going to the Holy Land is standing in these very spots when you read the scripture. And when it talks about he was at the top of Mount of Olives and he began his descent into Jerusalem, I can picture it. We walked that two Sundays ago. We walked down that very a descent from the top of Mount of Olives. And it is a descent. It is quite steep, steeper than you think. As they walk down and into, at the bottom, you come to the Garden of Gethsemane, then you cross the Kidron Valley, and then up the little slope into Jerusalem. And so I can picture it in my mind. We walk the very aspect of this that we're reading about today. And what a day it would have been to go back. There was just a spontaneous excitement. The crowd heard he was coming. They heard about the miracles and the wonders and the different things that had happened. And when he started, they cut down branches off of the trees. They waved. They sang hosannas. They took their clothes off, their coats off, and put it on the pathway that the donkey walked on as Jesus rode on his back into Jerusalem. Quite an exciting time, a time of worship and praise. And we celebrate it today on this Psalm Sunday. But here's your first fill-in. Psalm Sunday worship was enthusiastic. It was that. There was a lot of noise, so much so that the disciples were making so much noise that some of the more reserved ones said, this is getting out of hand. Tell your disciples to be quiet. And Jesus said, if these be quiet, the very rocks will cry out. So it was enthusiastic, but shallow. Enthusiastic, but shallow. Now, why would I say it was shallow? Because it didn't last. It wasn't sustained. Thousands of people were saying Hosanna to the Lord on the Sunday, and the following Friday, when he was brought before the judgment seat and Pilate, and a crowd shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him." And if they weren't the same people, which they probably weren't exactly the same people, at least those that were there shouting hosannas were quiet. And they had abandoned the Lord. The very disciples of Jesus had scattered, had left him. He was alone. And so it started with a triumphant. You'd think, the whole city is here with him. They are just wonderfully behind him. And yet we see it was with words and expression, but there was no depth to it. And Isaiah 29 and verse 13 says, And so the Lord says, these people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. Your filling is this. True praise is expressed with your life, not just with your mouth. As much as it is powerful and wonderful to praise him with your mouth, and you ought to, and we should, and we have already expressed that to do it with music and song and so many different ways, it's not enough. The Lord looks past that. He's looking at the heart. And so he says, are you really with me? Are you really sold out to me? Or are you just caught up with the crowd? And these people were caught up with the crowd. They joined in. They put some effort into it. I mean, they actually had to go and get the palm branches. They actually lifted their voice and shouted and waved and took their clothes, actually sacrificed maybe a cloak and put it down and let the donkey walk over it as an expression of their worship and praise to the Lord. But we look at it now from our perspective and realize, but it didn't last. It wasn't sustainable. So I'm wondering how this relates to us in our worship and in our praise, in light of what we shared last Sunday, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is it possible we can be going through outward things and be involved in sacrificing to a certain extent to worship with our mouth, and yet our lives are not a worship? God wants us to worship 24/7. He wants you to get up Monday morning and your life be a worship to the Lord. And your conduct with your neighbors and your conduct at work and all of your activities and all the things that you give your efforts to, that it would be worshipful to the Lord, that it would be pleasing to the Lord, that there's some depth in it. It's your life that's worshiping the Lord, not just your mouth that's worshiping the Lord. In fact, if you go on in Isaiah, he's quite stern in this portion. He says, I don't like your gatherings when you get together. And he said, and when you make prayers, and he said, and when you lift up your hands, I'll turn my eyes from that. Because he said, you're doing it outwardly, but your heart's not in it. And so I'm just saying, oh Lord, as I'm reading this portion and thinking about Palm Sunday and thinking about last week's message of seeking first the kingdom of God, I'm thinking, oh Lord, I want there to be a depth in my worship, and it goes beyond outward things to my life. Is my life worshiping the Lord? And that there needs to be a focus. I need to put an intent towards this. It can't just be going with the crowd, because when the crowd went against Christ, they went against. And sometimes I wonder how that is with us. You know, when we're in church, we have church language, church prayers, and then we're in the world, and then we go with the world, and we get all involved in all those things. And somehow we need to bring our attention that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart and the actions that we do is all focused in on one thing. Now, I want to switch gears a little bit, but we're not really switching from the theme of this, but just in how we're going to talk about it. Because as I was thinking about this, this is the context, and then I remembered something I had read years ago, and I went back and looked it up, and it was the story of in 1918, Ivy Lee, who was a business consultant, was brought in by Charles Schwab, who was the president of Bethlehem Steel. And this was a huge steel manufacturing company, one of the biggest in the U.S., and they were making ships and so forth, a multi-million dollar corporation. And he brought in Ivy Lee because he said, we need to be more focused. We need to produce more. We need to be more productive. How would we be better at our craft, at our jobs? And so he brought in Ivy Lee and asked him, he said, can you help us? And he said, I think I can. He said, give me 15 minutes with your managers. And he said, I will give them something that will make you more productive. And Charles Schwab said, well, how much will it cost me? And he said, it won't cost you anything. He said, I will talk to your managers. He said, you try it. They put it into practice for 3 months. And at the end of 3 months, he said, you send me a check for whatever you think it's worth. Well, at the end of those 3 months, Charles Schwab sent a check to Ivy Lee for $25,000. Now, $25,000 is a lot of money, even today. But it was worth a whole lot more money in 1918, 101 years ago. In fact, how much was it worth? Well, as I looked it up, $25,000 in 1918 is worth $420,000 in today's money. So for 15 minutes work talking to the managers, Ivy Lee made $420,000. And Charles Schwab happily gave it to him because it had benefited his company that much. Well, the question is, what did he say to them? And of course, it's not a secret because anyone that's in business, you've heard this before. And in fact, when I was looking this up, they said this is 100-year-old advice that's just as pertinent today as it was back then. And that if you put it into practice, it will be a benefit to you. So as I'm looking at it in that context, I'm thinking, okay, how does that relate to our goal to be worshipers, to fulfill our purpose, to be all that God wants us to be? And the Bible says that the children of this world sometimes are wiser than the children of light because they find means and processes and systems to accomplish their goals. But we, many times as Christians, we just sort of float. We have good intentions and we want to do something and we'll worship God, but we don't seem to be focused during the week to actually be all that God wants us to be. And so I want to share with you this morning what Ivy Lee told those managers. And it's simple. You can say it in less than 15 minutes. Here's what he told them. At the end of each work day, write down the most important things you need to accomplish tomorrow. So at the end of every day, write down the most important things that you need to do tomorrow. And limit it to 6. Don't write down any more than 6 things that you need to do tomorrow. And then he said, take those 6 things and prioritize them into the order of their true importance. What are the most important one of these 6 things? And actually list them, prioritize them. That's number 1. That's number 2. That's number 3. He said, I want you to list it down. And then he said, when you arrive tomorrow morning, concentrate only on the first task. Work until the first task is finished before moving on to the second task. This isn't rocket science. This is very simple. Make a list of the things you need to do tomorrow. That's important. Now sit down and list those 6 things in the importance of order of importance. And then when you come in tomorrow, rather than saying, well, what will I do? You look at your list. You do number 1 first. You do first things first. That's the title of my message. Do the first thing first. And do it every day. And at the end of the day, whatever you didn't finish of the 6 things, you just add that onto the next day. And if you need to add a few more, then you prioritize. What's the most important thing? And when you come in the next day, you do number 1 first. Sort of sounds like what our theme is this year. Paul writes and says, this one thing I do. And Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You need to be focused. You need to be focused on the first thing. Now, here's the thing. It's not just to know what it is, but you need to do the first thing first. And not just one day, every day. First things first, every day. You need to keep the main thing, the main thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. Say it with me. The main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. That's the secret. It's the secret of business. It's the secret of being a spiritual giant, reaching your full potential. You need to keep the main thing, the main thing. And that's the main thing. It's surprising how we don't. In fact, some of us haven't thought through what the main thing is for you. And once you do know what the main thing is, we don't keep the main thing the main thing. Some days it's the main thing. Other days, not even on our agenda. But the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. So I just wrote down three things that will help us. And so fill them in with me as we go. Here's number one. Make a list of what you need to do tomorrow. Make a list of what you need to do tomorrow. Otherwise, what you do will just happen to be whatever first gets your attention. Whatever comes across your desk. Whatever you'd like to do the most. Whatever I enjoy doing. Or we'll get distracted into something else. And so you have to make a list. It seems easy, but it's very hard to make a list of what you're to do every day. Now, I even hate to mention this because it's demoralizing to myself. But if we have the same statistics as most, only 10% of you will make a list. 90% of you will nod your head, listen to this, say, is that a good message? Yeah, that was a good thought. And you won't do it. Because it's not easy. You need to make a list. The Bible talks about to write a plan. Make it plain. That you can follow it. You need to make crystal clear what the main things are. Oh man, I think you know, especially those of you that are older, you know how easy it is not to do this. I mean, we have so many good intentions. How many times have I been so excited about something? And the first couple of days, I can do it without even making a list because I'm motivated. But then it gets to the fourth day and the fifth day and the 18th day. As one man said, I've read the first 17 chapters of Genesis 100 times. If you can follow what I'm saying, I'm going to read the Bible through. Chapter 1, Genesis, I'll read it. Next day, read chapter 2. He said, I've read the first 17 chapters 100 times. That's our problem. Unless you become intentional, unless you become serious, unless you say, you know what, I really need to keep the main thing the main thing. And I need to discipline myself and apply myself to this one thing I'm going to do. I'm not going to be distracted, not going to be pulled over. I really want to seek first the kingdom of God. So the first thing is to make a list. How many would actually commit right now and say, you know what, for this coming week, I'm going to make a list of things I need to do every day. Now, there's about 4 out of 20 or 30 there. How about here? 7 out of 40. This is not good, folks. Okay, we got 8 out of 24 in that section. We got, this section's doing better. You're learning from these other sections. How serious are we? Or is this too unspiritual? That's not spiritual. Being spiritual is just being led of the Lord. Well, how's it working for you? I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to myself. This message is for me. I mean, this message is coming out of my meditation on these scriptures, and it's Palm Sunday and it's worship, and boy, they didn't maintain their worship, and last week's message of seeking first the kingdom of God, and just realizing how nebulous our lives are. Our lives are like water. Try to shape water in your hands. It drips through. You can't shape water unless you got a vessel. And you pour the water into the vessel. The water takes the shape of the vessel. Habits. Ways. See, the Bible calls it as ways, paths. The ways of the Lord. Walk in the way of the Lord. It's a way. There's a pathway. An established course. You don't just start out across country. You're going to hit all kinds of things. Ditches and fences. Take the established way. The Bible says a man establishes his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So you need to establish ways, habits, things that you're going to do. How do I keep focused? Here's just something that works in business that disciplines your natural talents and abilities. But what more would it be if we say, Lord, I am going to prayerfully make a list of the important things that you want me to do. See, the key is not to prioritize what's on your schedule. And that's what we do many times. I got all these things to do. What should I do first? But is to schedule God's priorities. You need to sit down and prayerfully say, Lord, what do you want for me? I tell you, you get serious that way, he'll talk to you. See, that's your calling. Your calling. What he wants for you to do. He's made you a special way. He's just waiting for you to hear what he wants you to do. Here's another statement I wrote. The key is not to do things more efficiently, but to schedule what things get your time. It's not just to manage your time better, to say I want to do things more quickly, faster, efficiently. I'm going to manage my time. Here's the things I have to do. I'm going to cram more into my day. No, your scheduling is to give your time to what God wants you to give your time to. And not to waste your time. The Bible says that we need to redeem the time. You have to think about time and redeem your time. Part of that is find, okay, what's the road, the path I'm walking in today? So you sit down and you say, Lord, what's the most important things? And so you start focusing on that. Important in God's eyes, not what is urgent. See, there's lots of things that can be urgent. President Dwight Eisenhower, he's known for this. It's one of his, he's not known for a lot of things as far as quotes, but this one, it's top notch. He said this. He said, the urgent is seldom important, And the important is seldom urgent. So there's lots of urgent things that press in, pressing things. And important things start from within and work out. They come from inside of you, things you know, things that God has said to you. Important things come from within and work out. Urgent things come from the outside in. It's the environment. The phone rings. I have to answer the phone. We drop everything to get the phone. And that's a telemarketing person trying to sell you something. And you go, oh, why did I even pick up the phone? Urgent things are seldom important. All the things that's pressing in your schedule, filling up your day, from an eternal perspective, they're not that important. So I need to shift from urgent things to important things so that the main thing can be the main thing. And I'm seeking the first thing first. This is a very practical message this morning, but it has eternal rewards connected with it. Because when you stand before the Lord to give an account of the things we've done, He said, I'm going to give you talents. How did you use those talents? And we talked about this last week. Did you waste your talent? Did you hide your talent? Or did you use your talent? Don't be lazy. We need to be diligent. We need to be productive. Wasn't that the question that Charles Schwab asked Ivy Lee, how can we be more productive? How can I be more productive for the kingdom? What are the important things of the kingdom? Now I begin to focus on those things first. You see, God is the main thing. In your life, God is the main thing. God's order of priorities are this. God's order of priorities is spirit, soul, and body. He's made us spirit, soul, and body. And so each one of those sectors of your being has priorities. God has ordered it that your spirit is predominant. That your spirit, that connection with God, your relationship with God, then dominates and controls your soul, your psyche. And so it determines how I think. And my emotions and the choices I make. That's in the area of my soul. And then that directs my body so that I say and do the things that my spirit originated coming through my soul to my body. Now the devil works just the other way. He stirs our flesh. There's lust of the flesh. And because I want to satisfy the lust of the flesh and it becomes the strongest, then I begin to think a certain way and my emotions are based on that. And my spirit is just dormant. But when you are born again, your spirit comes alive. It's to be the controlling source of your life. From that, it gives priorities. God gives directions. He gives promptings. So what you feel in your spirit, if you're not careful, if you just let it be there, it comes and goes and comes and goes. And some days I do it and some days I don't. Some days I'm inspired, other days I'm not. Unless I say, you know what? I want the main thing to be the main thing every day. I want to do the first things in life first every day. That's where you're going to make progress. That's where you're going to be all that God wants you to be. You'll reach your full potential. You'll accomplish God's purposes. You'll stand before Him and He'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Not, you lazy servant. I want to be one that God can say, well done. And I realize, okay, I need to keep the main thing in my life. So let's go to the last fill-in. You need to do the first one first. So when you make this list, and then you determine the priority according to God's purposes, then you need to do the first one first. You need to do the first one first. Every day. John 13:17, Jesus says these words to his disciples. Now, before I read the verse, the context is the Last Supper. This is just before the Lord is going to be arrested. He talks to the disciples. This is in the same occasion where Peter says, you know, I'll never deny you. And he says, you're going to deny me. And then he's going to he gives an example to wash their feet. Peter says, not washing my feet. And the Lord says, listen, unless I wash your feet, you have no part of me. And so he's teaching them. He's teaching them tremendous truths during this Last Supper. And he finishes in John 13:17. He says to his disciples, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. See, it doesn't matter what you know. It's what you do. It doesn't matter the good intentions you have, the spiritual experiences you have, the moving that you've had, the tears you've shed. Unless you do it, there's no blessing in it. Jesus gave the servant, and yet this man had two sons. He says, go work in my vineyard to the first son. He says, I'm not going to do it. And then after he goes and does it. He goes to the second son. He says, work in my vineyard. He says, Dad, I'm going to do that. I'm going to work in your vineyard. And then he doesn't go. And the Lord just says to his disciples, who did the will of his father? And they said, well, the one that actually did what his father said. Oh, folks, we appease ourselves many times because we say yes. We feel it in our heart. We say yes. And then we don't do anything. I'm talking about myself. We don't act on it. We don't do it. We think the knowing is enough. But the blessing doesn't come with the knowing. The blessing comes with the doing. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. It's our responsibility to do the will of our Father. And so we need to muster our attention and focus that we're not lazy, spiritually lazy, or spiritually sleepy. And again, the Bible warns about a church who are asleep. They're alive. They're waiting for the bridegroom to come, but they've fallen asleep. They're in a slumber. They're not doing anything. Is it talking to you? Is the Spirit working around? He's working around in my heart. Is he working in your heart? Are you saying, you know what? I don't want to fool myself. I want to be all that God wants me to be. I want to seek first the kingdom of God. I want to be as wise as they were 100 years ago when they just wanted to see how would we be more productive. And so you begin to seek the Lord prayerfully and say, I want to do first things first. I wrote this down. The key is not to determine which things are first, but to do the first things first every day. Now, it's hard enough to determine what's first. But that's not the key thing. You're just getting started when you make the list of what you feel God wants you to do. Now, the key thing is to do the first thing first every day. And you cut everything else away. In preparing for this message, I came across Warren Buffett's 25-5 rule. It was right there with Ivy Lee's method. And it was more of a modern day. Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in the world, revered. And he has this rule that he shares with everyone of how he got its success. And he shared it with his pilot who was flying his plane. And he related this to others. That he said to his pilot, you've been with me 3 years. He said, apparently I'm not doing my work. You need to have progressed beyond this. And so he said to his pilot, you need to sit down and write 25 goals that you have for your life. Now, this is just natural things. You just write down 25 goals that you want to do in your life. And then he said, I want you to sit down after you do that and pick the top five. Pick the top five. Prioritize. That's the most important thing. Pick out the top five. And he said, then I want you to focus on number one. And just focus on that and don't do anything but that. And then he said to his pilot, he said, what about the other 20 ones? And the pilot said, well, they're all important. Yeah, I wouldn't have wrote them down if they weren't important. He said, I think I'll focus on the top five. And then I'll just, you know, as I have time, I'll work on the 20. And Warren Buffett said, you've missed the whole thing. He said, those other 20 now are you. He said, they're your never at any cost to do. Pick your top 25. Pick your five. And then those other 20, you never do them at any cost. Because he said, they're only going to distract you from your top five. But that's what we do. I have 25 things I think the Lord wants me to do. And he wants me to focus in. And say, what's the top thing I'm walking? What is a top thing? See, it might be your marriage. But you want to do this and this and this and this and this and this. And they're all good. But if the Lord's saying the number one priority in your life right now is your marriage, you need to go right out after this service and buy a ticket to that marriage seminar. You need to go down to a bookstore and start buying every book you can on marriage. See, I mean, this is where we fall down. We don't do the first thing first. It's just on the list. We do a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit over there, a little bit here. It might be another area the Lord would say to you is your top thing. Whatever your top thing is, you need to say everything else is at never at any cost. I'm focusing on this. Do the first thing first every day. And when that's accomplished, then you move on to the next important thing. This is how we're going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, every behavior has a cost. Everything you do has a cost to it. Time, space, money. There's a cost to everything you do. And there's so many good things. And the good things in life are the enemies of the best things in life simply because of the lack of time. Focus on the best things. Leave aside the good things. And focus on the best things. Be laser focused on it. Praying every day for it. Asking for wisdom every day for it. Pressing into it. Getting counsel around that. Investing in that every day. And you'll see it blossom and grow. And so when that's done, God then brings another thing. And you find your life starts blooming in so many ways. But we have to do first things first every day. Let's stand together this morning. The Lord's speaking to you this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is here. I'm saying, Lord, speak to me through this message. Help me to apply this message in my own life, my personal life. Lord, I pray for this congregation that you'll speak depths right into their spirit. They would have a hunger for something in their spirit, a desire in their spirit for something. You're telling people right now what it is. And Lord, I ask that right now, Lord, they just determine in their mind, that's number one in my life. I'm going to keep that first. Every day I'm going to work on that. Every day I'm focusing on that. May we reach our full potential. May the kingdom of God grow. May we all do our part. May we all be faithful servants. May we all seek first the kingdom of God. Would you work through us as a church? May this church be all you want us to be in our community. May we touch as many people, Lord, as you want, because collectively, individually, we all are seeking you first, that your will be done. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.